You are Locked On Twins, your daily Minnesota Twins podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today is Tuesday, April 6th. I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Go to RockAuto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Twins falling today in a game with the Detroit Tigers, game two of this series. Let me introduce myself first for our new listeners. This is Nash Walker. I write at Twins Daily. Lifelong Twins fan and a very, very huge Twins fan. At that, I like to think I bring an analytical perspective to the team, and also, you know, I like to analyze the team, yes, from a fan's perspective, but also from an educated perspective, you know, looking at roster construction and what I know about the game, and I think it links in with the Twins quite well on this podcast. Thanks for joining me today. The Twins in game two, I thought this one was tricky. Like, you looked at this series, and they got that big win yesterday, and you can listen to the episode. I kind of broke that down a little bit last night. 15-6, they won Monday. This was a knee-knocker game because tomorrow's Kenta Maeda against Matt Boyd. Matt Boyd, outside, he had a good start on opening day. I think he started on opening day for Detroit. But outside of that, gosh, he's been terrible since the 2019 All-Star break, a lefty. I think the Twins, when they're healthy, and it hurts not having Donaldson, but I believe that what they showed against left-handers in 2020 was more of an aberration than a rule. I think they're going to be much better against left-handers this year, especially with the amazingness of Byron Buxton, we'll talk about today, and Nelson Cruz, and their best hitters are right-handed. So I think in the long haul, they're going to hit lefties this year, and I think it's going to start with Matt Boyd tomorrow, and it couldn't be a better matchup, Kenta Maeda, Matt Boyd. Advantage Twins times 10 in that matchup for sure on Wednesday. But I thought this middle game was the decider in the series. You know, I thought this would be the decider between a sweep and between the Twins taking two out of three. And baseball's weird. They could go out there tomorrow. You know, Detroit, I think, beat Kenta last year. The Twins could go out there tomorrow and lose, but I'm pretty confident that they're going to win Wednesday and take the series, take two out of three. But I thought this game was one in the middle that they could go for a sweep here. I talked about that yesterday. They lose 4-3 in extra innings, and this is actually the Twins' second loss of the season and the second loss of the season that was decided in extra innings. The only games they've lost have been in extras in the 10th inning, and we see this new runner on second base rule. I'm conflicted about it. Like, I know a lot of people hate it, and it kind of goes against everything baseball stands for, but I also hate to see the Twins run through a bullpen because they have to go to the 16th, 17th inning, and then they're set back like weeks because of it. I don't like that, and it's kind of nice to have these games end in the 10th or 11th inning. You kind of save your bullpens a little bit. Now, the Twins do have a lot of depth. Anytime you shorten anything, whether it's the game, the season, the Twins are going to hurt from that because they have so much depth. That's their strength. So do I think they have a better chance with no runner on second rule and extra innings to beat the Tigers today? Yes. Do I think I have a better chance of beating Milwaukee last week? Yes. That doesn't guarantee anything, but it's more of a toss-up with the runner on second. The Twins could have avoided this going to extra innings, to be honest with you. A couple of things contributed to this loss. First and second in the order, Luis Arraez, Jorge Polanco both went 0 for 5, 0 for 10 with three strikeouts between the two of them. Polanco's had a pitiful start to this season through five games. It's so early, like way too early for me to say anything about Jorge Polanco, but it hasn't been a good start for him. He hasn't helped the Twins win many games here early on. Nelson Cruz, man, another home run for Nelly. He certainly didn't contribute to the loss. He goes 3 for 5. He's got a home run. He hits a big single in extras. That guy's amazing. He's hitting .538 on the season, in case you were wondering. Brent Rooker was 0 for 3 with two strikeouts. He's also had a really tough start to this season. And then Miguel Sano was 0 for 4 with two strikeouts. So just too many guys not producing. Ryan Jeffers 0 for 2. The Twins left 22 on base. I also thought, to give credit to the Tigers, I thought Casey Mize was pretty good today, considering what we saw last year from him. He had command issues last year, and he was afraid to throw strikes. Morneau was talking about that today. Mize really attacked the zone against the Twins. I thought he mixed his pitches really well. I thought he threw pitches at interesting times and counts. I know he started a rise with a curveball slider at least once, and I think that kind of gets you off track as a hitter, because if he has confidence in his slider, Casey Mize has such a good split finger changeup that, and he throws 94-95, so if he can throw a slider as well, it's kind of the deal with Matt Shoemaker, you know, really good splitter, And if they can throw their slider breaking ball well, that really helps them. I thought Mize was locating pretty well today. You know, kind of left him in the fourth inning. The Twins loaded the bases and couldn't get much out of it. Luis Arraez came up full count. Great at bat for him. It was just a tremendous at bat. He actually almost hit a grand slam on that ball. That thing just kept carrying. But Mize made some good pitches. Like, I thought he gave Arraez a chance, though. A lot of fastballs in the zone that Arraez fouled back that I think he could have ripped into the gap. And we've seen so many times with Louis. But Mize beat him fair and square, and Arraez was 0 for 5 today. And you can kind of see the impact of that. I think that shows us of how important Luis Arraez is to this lineup as a table setter. And when he goes 0 for 5, it's hard for the lineup to get anything going below him. He's such a key to this lineup, especially without Donaldson as an on-base threat. Luis Arraez was 0 for 5 and wasn't good today. Jay Happ started for the Twins, made his Twins debut. He's a nibbler. I think that's not a knock on him. I think he nibbles because his stuff is not overpowering. But I think you can tell why the Twins liked him. I think he induces weak contact because he does work the fringes of the zone in a kind of Kyle Gibson-esque way, I would say. But better command than we saw out of Gibby in his last few years as a Twin. I think Happer was pretty solid today. You know, pitch count was up there, a lot of foul balls. You're going to see that with him because he doesn't have that put away stuff. You know, you're going to see more foul balls than you are going to see swings and misses because his stuff isn't that great. But four innings, one earned run, hard to argue with that. Four strikeouts, three walks. I think he wasn't as sharp as he'd like to be, and you know, part of that is probably his late start to camp. But I thought Jay Happ for the most part was good. Let's talk more about this game after the word from rockauto.com.
rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked on their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
Cody Stashek comes in relief, and this game just kind of had the feel that the Twins weren't going to win. It just felt like the offense left too many opportunities on the table, and it continued throughout the game, and we'll get into the late innings. Cody Stashek got touched up a little bit. His command was off. Cody Stashek is a perfect example of the Twins and of Wes Johnson taking a guy and saying, throw your two best pitches, but more specifically, throw your best pitch. And Cody Stashek, with that slider, so when he dials in that slider and he locates it against righties, that thing is nasty. He can paint the outside corner. No one can touch him. And then he'll throw you a little 90-91 up in your hands, and it looks like a whole lot because of that slider away. You're looking slider away, and then he beats you inside. I thought it came and went for him in his inning of work. Some of these things are going to be ironed out as the season goes on. You know, his command was not good, but I thought at times it looked good. I thought he was spotty with his command. Caleb Thirlbar came in and gave the Twins a chance to come back in this game. They're only down 3-1, and Dick mentioned it. He's like, this game's 3-1. Nelson Cruz hits a home run. It's 3-2. And then Byron Buxton comes in, plays some center field. He pinch hits or comes into the game for Brent Rooker and hits a home run. I think it was the furthest home run of his career, the hardest hit ball of his career in the Statcast era. Byron Buxton, fastball up, 96 up. That is, if that isn't encouraging, that Buxton's taken 96 up in the zone, a rising fastball, and taking that thing like 450 to left field, just crushing it, no doubter. I don't know what is encouraging. Byron Buxton is becoming a prolific power hitter. Byron Buxton, if this is who he is, if he's going to have 30, 35 home run power, the MVP conversation is going to go on all year. And it's just, again, he hits a double down the line the other day, and then he gets taken out of the game. And as soon as he comes back, he hits a home run for the Twins. It just shows you the impact that he can have on a game. Expect him to be in the lineup tomorrow. I can't wait to see him start tomorrow against Matt Boyd, against the left-hander. Buxton's such a difference maker, and he was again today. There was a fun quote from Rocco. He's like, it's never gets old how much he can single-handedly impact a baseball game. There's no better way to put it. He can do that among the best. And Byron Buxton, another home run today. Nelson Cruz and Byron Buxton have 3 home runs each. The rest of the Twins combined have 2 total. So it's been carried by those two a little bit. Yeah, but Caleb Theobar gave him a chance. Theobar's a great story. He's been fantastic for the Twins since coming and pitching for them. Tyler Duffy threw an inning, got out of a jam a little bit there, walk, and then got the strikeout to end the inning. He's been really solid this year out of the gate. He's a fireman, so you even feel more comfortable when he's got guys on base because he's so used to that. Taylor Rogers, speaking of trouble, you were getting these flashbacks with Taylor Rogers in there of 2020, worried that it was going to kind of blow up in his face, but he gets a huge double play ball. Williams Acedillo made a great play at third base, double play to get Miguel Cabrera at first. You want Miguel Cabrera running to get a double play there. Williams at the plate, by the way, 2-for-4 today with a ribby. I think you're going to see him back in the lineup tomorrow playing third base, especially against the lefty. Arise might get a day off. Gosh, he's been good at the plate. Like, he might hit 5th or 6th tomorrow. I think Astudillo's been really good for them. The catching tandem hasn't. Mitch Garver pinch hit today and popped out. But, you know, the Twins as a whole offensively, I thought, left a lot of opportunities on the table. They could have won this game, but it just didn't feel like they would. I'm not saying the Tigers gave them this game. I think the Tigers actually played pretty well today. You know, 10 for 37 at the dish. They also left 21 on base, so... You know, neither team played super well, but I thought Mize was good, and I think he kind of stymied the Twins and got the Tigers in a position to win this ball game. Hansel Robles comes in. Let's talk about extra innings. So you get into the 10th inning. Hansel Robles pitches the bottom half, but the top half, you have Jorge Polanco on second base starting the inning. Gregory Soto, left-hander for Detroit, is nasty, one of the nastiest when he's on. When he's throwing strikes, he is nasty. I thought he was really good today. Nelson Cruz rips a single to right because no one is nastier than Nelson Cruz or can beat Nelson Cruz with their nastiness. He rips a single to right. Polanco goes to third, and you got first and third with no outs in the top of the 10th inning. The Twins did not capitalize. And, you know, coming up to the dish, and Max Kepler struggled so badly against lefties last year. There was an argument that Polanco should have scored on that single from Cruz, but you can't look back at that and say Polanco should have scored. That thing was hard hit to right field. Polanco probably would have been gunned out at home, and I think there would have been outrage that he was sent because first and third with no outs, I mean, you expect to score in that situation. I don't care how bad Kepler was against lefties last year. You got Buxton coming up after him. You got Cave, who you can pinch hit for, and they did with Andrelton Simmons. I think it's fine that Polanco got held up at third. Running on contact, that's just one of those plays, and he did it twice today. And the Tigers made good plays. You know, those balls were hit right to him. I thought the bigger problem with Polanco running on contact was Byron Buxton swinging at that first pitch and being too aggressive. I think when he's feeling it and when he's hitting these home runs, and it is like it's a good thing that he's aggressive. That's what makes him so great right now with his power. But reaching out over the plate and rolling over that ball to third base in a run scoring position is not ideal for him. I didn't love him swinging at that pitch after Kepler struck out. Kepler struck out 3 times today. But I expect Kepler to be better against lefties this year. I think he will start against Boyd tomorrow. They want to get him those looks. But Buxton, I think that was my biggest issue with the inning, was Buxton swinging at that pitch. And Andrelton Simmons, like I said, pinch hits for Jake Cave and just kind of got dismantled. He got in a good count. Like, he worked Gregory Soto, got into a really nice count there, into a good at-bat, and ended up striking out on a slider down. Soto beat him with it 3 times. But Andrelton, I like that pinch hit there. And Garlick had already pinch run for Cruz, so he was not an option off the bench. I like that Rocco went to Andrelton, one of your best contact hitters, certainly on the roster, and you get that right-handed, left-handed platoon against Soto, but he just got beat. I thought Soto was good. And that's, again, like the Tigers, I thought, for the most part, came to play today. That's the best I think you're going to see a team as bad as the Tigers play in some facets, probably as well as they're probably going to pitch. In some ways, just Mize, and, you know, he only went 4, but he also shut down the Twins for a good amount of that game outside of some those command issues in the 4th. Let's talk about Akil Baddoo walking this thing off after the word from BetOnline.ag. BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports needs. You know, football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. There are real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Again, use promo code LOCKEDON. Yeah, and football is over, but listen, March Madness is one of the best times of the year to play and to bet. And BetOnline.ag has a really easy-to-use platform. It's easy to navigate, and you can bet on futures for Major League Baseball, too. If you think the Twins are going to win the Central, if you think the Twins are going to win the World Series, you can bet on both those things. If you think Josh Donaldson is going to win MVP, you can bet on that, too. Use promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline.ag. Akil Badu, Twins do not protect him in the Rule 5 draft. He gets picked up by the Tigers. Twins have a crowded 26-man roster, of course, and crowded 40-man roster at that. When you have a deep system, the Twins are going to let some get away. And I'm not ready to call Akil Badu one that got away, but man, does he look good. Akil Badu walking off the Twins, he's had a heck of a spring training, a heck of a season so far. I mean, Badu looks like a middle-of-the-order left-handed bat, and it seems like he's going to be one for the Tigers moving forward. Robbie Grossman, 2-for-4, 2 ribbies. Ridiculous how many former Twins are in this lineup. Nico Goodrum, Wilson Ramos, Robbie Grossman, Jonathan Scope, so many guys in this lineup. Badu, just crazy how many Twins were in. This is like half the lineup were former Twins. The Detroit Twins. Hanzo Robles has had a fantastic start to the season. Anytime, and I'll talk about this because it's not the last time the Twins will go into extras. Anytime a pitcher is put into that situation in extras, it's going to suck. Like it's such a bad spot to be in for a reliever to come into a game with a runner on second base, and you just got to go out there and try to get outs and not give up a run. You're going to see that run score more times than not. It doesn't matter who it is, unless it's Josh Hader, like we saw. He just ripped the Twins apart with the runner on second. You're going to see that run score a lot. And I thought Robles, you know, he battled. He threw that little slider to Badu. He probably wanted it in a little bit more, but Badu just turned on it and ripped it out to right field. It was just an unfortunate loss and one that I think the Twins probably could have avoided. But they didn't deserve to win this game, in my opinion. You leave 22 on. You leave the bases loaded. You know, they did get beat. Like, it wasn't – there are some games, and there will be games this year, where I felt like the Twins – really didn't deserve it. And one of the games that comes to mind last year is when they walked like 13 times against the White Sox and couldn't drive in a single run and just no situational hitting. This wasn't one of those games. I thought it was a mixture of a couple things. It was them not capitalizing, getting off to kind of a sluggish start right out of the gate. A young pitcher like Mize, and it's true for any pitcher, jump on him early. Look what they did to Jose Urena yesterday, making him work in those first two innings. The game was over in those first couple innings because they whooped on him. And Mize was sharp, so I give him credit too. But I think they left opportunities on the table. Mize was good today, had a good start for them, and I think it just contributed to a 4-3 loss. The Twins are going to play the Tigers 19 times this year, 17 more times. They weren't going to beat them all 19 times. The Twins split with the Tigers last year. You cannot do that or they won't win this division. If they split with teams like the Tigers and Royals, they won't win this division. And the Royals look pretty formidable, you know, so far. But I think you need to win at least 13 or 14. In 2019, they took 14 from Detroit. They took 14 from Kansas City, and it contributed to 101 victories. I'm very much down on the Detroit Tigers. I think they have some pieces. You know, I think that, again, they can win games like this once in a while. But the Twins need to go out there and take care of business with Maeda on the hill on Wednesday against Matt Boyd. I think they will end up winning 12, 13, 14 of these games this year. This is just one of those 4 or 5 that they'll end up losing, you know, to look back on, and it will be a loss. But, you know, looking forward, the schedule is light, so you got to take advantage of it. And even with Donaldson out, and he ran on the treadmill today, which is really good news, and also took batting practice, it sounds like he's trending in the right direction to perhaps be off the injured list in time, like after his 10-day period is up. We'll see if that's true and if it happens. But certainly encouraging that Donaldson's out there. It seems like Buxton's feeling a lot better. You know, Arise was in the lineup. Seems like he's doing better, even though he struggled today. So the team, when it looked really, really bad health-wise, Buxton getting pulled from that game, Arise getting pulled from that game, you got Donaldson you don't know about. It's starting to trend in the right direction, knock on wood, that the injuries are okay at this point. They should be 5 games into the season. Chicago won last night for our AL Central rundown. They won 6-0 over Seattle. Carlos Rodon pitched a great game. I watched this game last night. The White Sox, I think, with their bullpen and with a rotation with that top three, I think they do have maybe a higher floor than I gave them credit for, even without Eloy Jimenez. But this is the Twins division to lose now. And that's what I've concluded. I guess through five games, it's so early. And, you know, you're going to see guys break out and you're going to see guys have long stretches of not doing well. But what I've seen from the Twins so far is they do have such incredible offensive upside. And we knew this. And if Nelson Cruz is going to hit like he did the last 2 years, the upside even gets further. And the other guys need to pick him up. Like, you need guys like Jorge Polanco to have better years. He's not off to a good start, but Byron Buxton is. And, you know, if they can stay healthy, that's just the main thing with them. If they can stay healthy, things will really go well. But this division, I think, is more exciting than it has been, certainly in the last couple of years, with Kansas City getting better. I think Kansas City, like, I just saw my buddy down there. I said, hey, how about them Royals? He's from Kansas City. I'm here at Mizzou. And he said, oh, I don't want to say anything too fast, but gosh, they're hot. Like, people are excited about the Royals here. People are excited about the Royals in Kansas City. I think those are going to be fun games, more fun than they've been these last couple of years. And I think Detroit feels like, with steps forward from Mize, steps forward from Skubal, and perhaps Matt Manning coming into the picture, and now you got this guy, Akil Badu, hitting bombs for his new manager, AJ Hinch. I think they feel like they are getting better as well. And Cleveland doesn't, but they still have that rotation. And the White Sox, I think, with their bullpen and starting rotation, I think they're going to win a lot of games with pitching this year, actually. That's my prediction for the Sox. When coming into the year, we thought it would be their offense. But I think they're going to be a little bit like the 2020 Twins, winning games with their pitching. My two favorite teams this year, if you've forgotten, the Minnesota Twins and whoever is playing against the Chicago White Sox. Wouldn't read too much into this loss today. I know people always want to jump and blame the Twins loss today, that is. People always want to jump and blame for a loss like this. But frankly, over 162, I try to get away from saying this, but these games happen. You know, the offense was a little sluggish. You ran into a pitcher who was commanding the ball well, a really talented young pitcher who kind of put it together a little bit today, and you leave too many guys on base. You're not going to win those games. And this might be one of those that the Twins look back on and wish they could have the fourth inning back, but you move on. You know, you move to the next day, and that's the beauty of baseball. That's why I love having it back. You just move on to the next day. That's the best part about it. Football, you got to wait another week. Baseball, you lose a tough one, 4-3 in extras. Let's look forward to tomorrow. We got our ace on the mound. Join me then, post-game. Sorry this one was late again. Tomorrow will be much earlier, probably right after the game. You'll hear an episode breaking down the game and looking forward to the home opener Thursday. Really exciting. Hopefully it doesn't rain for all those who are going. And if it does, hopefully Friday's beautiful if you're able to go to that rescheduled game as well. But let's talk then. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. Go Twins. Follow me on Twitter at NashWalker9. Follow the show at LockedOnTwins. And don't be too sad about this loss to the Tigers. It won't happen too much this year. Thanks again.